Hi, Dave Emery here. This is For the Record program number 1152, BioPsyOp Apocalypse Now, part 12, COVID-19 updates, part 3. This is being recorded on September 17th of the year 2020. Once again, we are going to be taking a look at remdesivir and also Moderna's mRNA vaccines. These have both been a major focal point of national security research, and as well, they are involved as part of the therapeutic arsenal, so to speak, that either has been or will be very possibly approved to combat COVID-19. The question that I am asking here is some of the early research that was done into coronavirus-caused diseases such as SARS and MERS, does this have anything to do, and I believe it does, with the COVID-19 outbreak in China and here, and to what extent the early military adoption of remdesivir and the continued promotion of remdesivir by Gilead Sciences, one of the largest and most important of the biotech companies, very well connected, and as we have looked at, and we'll come back to this in the course of this program, the chairman of the board for many years of Gilead Sciences was Donald Rumsfeld, who resigned his position as chairman of the board to become Pentagon secretary under George W. Bush, and in turn he made a great deal of money when the Pentagon and other government agencies bought oseltamivir or Tamiflu made by Gilead to protect against the H5N1 avian flu epidemic that was predicted but never really panned out. I would note that in that regard, H5N1 avian flu was the focal point, as we looked at in For the Record 1117, among others, of some of the gain-of-function experiments that were roundly criticized by knowledgeable people in the field as presenting a tremendous risk of new epidemics being released if the organisms got out. There has been a lot of discussion about the twindemic in this country. When flu season strikes, the fear is that that plus COVID-19 will prove to have a very deleterious effect in the U.S. I wonder if a more virulent form of H5N1 will be deliberately released and then in turn Gilead Sciences and scientists to stop COVID-19, something we spoke about in For the Record program number 1131 and 1134, came back to it briefly in 1138. That is part of the organization which permits wealthy investors to network with people who are aware of the various covert operations being launched against China and elsewhere, and who also are involved with some of the sanctions that are being leveled against Chinese companies. This permitting knowledgeable insiders to short out some of the relevant stocks and to make a great deal of money. Bear in mind also the distinction between offensive and defensive research in biological warfare is essentially academic. If you are doing research in the house, small beasties infect and make ill either people or animals or plants, it is the same work, basically, whether you call it offensive or defensive. I mention that because remdesivir has been adopted very early by the military. In fact, as early as March of this year, and in turn, remdesivir was being tested against SARS and MERS, and indeed, Gilead Sciences had been, the maker of remdesivir, had been seeking to use that as what they called a broad-spectrum antiviral. Was some of the research into the SARS and MERS viruses something we'll look at again in connection with Moderna? Was this in the context of knowledge that, in fact, not only was the COVID-19 outbreak in China deliberately seeded, but that the same thing was being done here? I don't know, but I think it is a question that is worth asking. From the courts blog Q-U-8-R-T-Z of April 9th of 2020 by Lila McClellan, capital M-A-C-L-E-L-L-A-N, how the military secured a coronavirus drug that has yet to win FDA approval. On March 10th, the Pentagon announced a deal with Gilead Sciences in which the pharmaceutical company would supply the military with the intravenous drug at no cost. That's in March 10th. Together with our government and industry partners, we are progressing at almost revolutionary rates to deliver effective treatment and prevention products that will protect the citizens of the world and preserve the readiness and lethality of our service members, unquote, Army Brigadier General Michael Talley, Commanding General of the U.S. Army Medical Research and Development Command at Fort Detrick, said in a media statement at the time. He was also, as we looked at, in for the record 1138, in charge of USAMRIID, about which we'll say more in a minute, remdesivir was being tested there against Ebola officially, but who knows, very possibly against other things, that as early as March of 2019. The drug was approved through a special Pentagon facility or a body of the military on March 10th. That was a long time ago. I wonder if some of the research was in anticipation of COVID-19 before that became common knowledge. Apparently, the utility of remdesivir against MERS and SARS also has given it its utility, limited utility, against SARS-CoV-2 that causes COVID-19. Still more about remdesivir. This from the NIAID/NIH website of February 13th of 2020. Remdesivir prevents MERS coronavirus disease in monkeys. The experimental antiviral remdesivir successfully prevented disease in rhesus macaques infected with Middle East Respiratory Syndrome coronavirus or MERS-CoV, according to a new study from the National Institutes of Health Sciences. Remdesivir prevented disease when administered before infection and improved the condition of macaques when given after the animals already were infected. Skipping down. The current study was conducted at NIAID's Rocky Mountain Laboratories in Hamilton, Montana. In for the record 1135, 1136, and 1137, we looked into Lyme disease as a biological weapon, and much of the research done by Vivi Bergdorfer, a biological warfare researcher, was at that very same Montana Laboratory. So it certainly has done work for the military, and again with remdesivir being tested against the MERS virus, rather like the Moderna vaccines, and with the enormous links of remdesivir to the national security establishment through people like Donald Rumsfeld, who was chairman of the board for a long time. And he then resigned his position to become head of the Pentagon. Stillwell made millions of dollars from Gilead Sciences stock when they purchased millions of a great deal of Tamiflu or oseltamivir. That is an antiviral developed for combating the H5N1 avian flu, and that never turned into the pandemic that it was anticipated as being. It did, however, make Gilead Sciences very wealthy. One of the things that scares the fresh fertilizer out of me, looking ahead to future developments here, there has been much discussion of a twindemic. What happens when flu season comes and people are getting the flu and COVID-19, although the H5N1 avian flu pandemic never panned out, some of the most criticized gain-of-function studies involved adapting H5N1 to ferrets and producing a more virulent form of H5N1 that could be communicated by casual upper respiratory contact. A Chinese study found that the SARS-CoV-2 that produces COVID-19 does infect ferrets very readily. Ferrets are a frequent experimental subject for adapting respiratory infections I wonder if a more virulent form of H5N1 avian flu, the one that was being developed in these gain of functions, is going to be unleashed on us at the same time as COVID-19 continues to spread. That would be devastating for our health collectively. It would, however, make a whole lot of money for Gilead Sciences, because then a lot of people, including government agencies, are going to be buying Tamiflu, which does combat the more virulent form of H5N1 avian flu that was the focal point of gain of function experiments that we looked at in program 1117, among others. Briefly reviewing some of the background against which the research into remdesivir and Moderna's work on their mRNA vaccine, messenger RNA vaccine, once again from that consummately important article by Whitney Webb from the last American Vagabond blog of January 30th of 2020. Bats, gene editing, and bioweapons. Recent DARPA experiments raise concerns amid coronavirus outbreak. And some excerpts, again, repeating for to refresh people's memory. And again, the research into remdesivir, the early adoption by the military for that, the research into Moderna. I wonder to what extent the outbreak of COVID-19 was being anticipated as part of a biological warfare program. And is this part of the same planning? From the Whitney Webb article. The Pentagon's Defense Advanced, it's titled, by the way, Bats, Gene Editing and Bioweapons, Recent DARPA Experiments Raise Concerns Amid Coronavirus Outbreak, reading in part. The Pentagon's Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, or DARPA, began spending millions on such bat-borne corona research in 2018, and some of those Pentagon-funded studies were conducted at known U.S. military bioweapons labs bordering China, and resulted in the discovery of dozens of new coronavirus strains as recently as last April. Furthermore, the ties of the Pentagon's main biodefense lab to a virology institute in Wuhan, China, where the current outbreak is believed to have begun, have been unreported in English-language media thus far. They've been reported since, but not as of January 30th. Continuing. For instance, DARPA spent $10 million on one project in 2018, quote, to unravel the complex causes of bat-borne viruses that have recently made the jump to humans, causing concern among global health officials, unquote. Another research project backed by both DARPA and NIH saw researchers at Colorado State University examine the coronavirus that causes Middle East beginning again. Another research project backed by both DARPA and the National Institutes of Health saw researchers at Colorado State University examine the coronavirus that causes Middle East respiratory syndrome in bats and camels, quote, to understand the role of these hosts in transmitting the disease to humans. And it was MERS research that remdesivir an early authorization and adaptation by the Pentagon. Continuing. For instance, one study conducted in southern China in 2018 resulted in the discovery of 89, quote, novel bat coronavirus, unquote, strains that use the same receptor as the coronavirus known as Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS. That study was jointly funded by the Chinese government's Ministry of Science and Technology, the U.S. Agency for International Development, an organization long alleged to be a front for U.S. intelligence, and the U.S. National Institute of Health, which has collaborated with both the CIA and the Pentagon on infectious disease and bioweapons research. And still more. The U.S. AMRIID's problematic record of safety at such facilities is of particular concern in light of the recent coronavirus outbreak in China. As this report will soon reveal, this is because U.S. AMRIID has a decades-old and close partnership with the University of Wuhan's Institute of Medical Virology, which is located in the epicenter of the current outbreak. Duke University is also jointly partnered with China's Wuhan University, which is based in the city where the current coronavirus outbreak began, which resulted in the opening of the China-based Duke Kunshan University, or DKU, in 2018. Notably, China's Wuhan University, in addition to its partnership with Duke, also includes a multi-lab Institute of Medical Virology that has worked closely with the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute for Infectious Diseases since the 1980s, according to its website. About Moderna. The second pharmaceutical company that was selected by CEPI to develop a vaccine for the new coronavirus is Moderna Incorporated, which will develop a vaccine for the novel coronavirus of concern in collaboration with the U.S. NIH and which will be funded entirely by CEPI. The vaccine in question, as opposed to Inovio's DNA vaccine, will be a messenger RNA or mRNA vaccine. Though different than the DNA vaccine, mRNA vaccines still use genetic material, quote, to direct the body's cells to produce intracellular membrane or secreted proteins, unquote. Moderna's mRNA treatments, including its mRNA vaccines, were largely developed using a $25 million grant from DARPA, and it often touts its strategic alliance with DARPA in press releases, as we'll see, not in its patent filings. More from Whitney Webb. The U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, or USAMRIIV facility at Fort Detrick, Maryland, the U.S. military's lead laboratory for biological defense research since the late 1960s, was forced to halt all research it was conducting with a series of deadly pathogens after the CDC found that it lacked, quote, sufficient systems in place to decontaminate wastewater, unquote, from its highest security labs and failure of staff to follow safety procedures, among other lapses. The facility contains both Level 3 and Level 4 biosafety labs. While it is unknown if experiments involving coronaviruses were ongoing at the time, USAMRIIV has recently been involved in research born out of the Pentagon's recent concern about the use of bats as bioweapons. Indeed, and we'll come back to the Whitney Webb article again after some discussion of Moderna. Bear in mind that unnamed select agents, unquote, have been infected into rhesus macaque monkeys, which were also the focal point of Ebola research at the aforementioned USAMRIIV and treating Ebola in those monkeys with remdesivir. We also saw that remdesivir was being used against the MERS virus at another facility in Montana that has been a BW research facility in the past. Now, again, bear in mind again that Moderna has been a major recipient of DARPA funding. Bear in mind too that Moncef Slaoui, who as we looked at in For the Record 1131, came back through in 1138. We actually looked at him in 1130, 1131, and 1138. He was in charge of product development for Moderna. He's now in charge of Operation Warp Speed, which is the, as the title indicates, a crash program to develop a vaccine. It also has been, that is to say, Operation Warp Speed. It also has been a vehicle that the Trump administration has been touting for an early vaccine and thereby sort of a pharmacological October surprise to help gain Donald Trump a second term. Of Moderna's failure to disclose their government funding when they file for patents, from Stat News from August 28th of 2020 by Ed Silverman, Moderna failed to disclose federal funding for vaccine patent applicants, applications, advocates say. One more time. Moderna failed to disclose federal funding for vaccine patent applications, advocates say. An advocacy group has asked the Department of Defense to investigate what they've called an apparent failure, unquote, by Moderna mRNA to disclose millions of dollars in awards received from the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency in patent applications the company filed for vaccines. In a letter to the agency, Knowledge Ecology International explained that a review of dozens of patent applications found the company received approximately $20 million from the federal government in grants several years ago, and the funds, quote, likely, unquote, led to the creation of its vaccine technology. One more time. In a letter to the agency, Knowledge Ecology International explained that a review of dozens of patent applications found the company received approximately $20 million from the federal government in grants several years ago, and the funds, unquote, likely, unquote, led to the creation of its vaccine technology. This was used to develop vaccines to combat different viruses such as Zika and later the virus that causes COVID-19. In arguing for an investigation, the advocacy group maintained that Moderna is obligated under federal law to disclose the grants that led to nearly a dozen specific patent applications and explain the financial support means the U.S. government would have certain rights over the patents, as we'll see later. That might also, if the mRNA vaccine is successful, or even if it's not that successful, if it comes to market, at the very least, it would be at a much lower price than apparently it is going to be. In other words, reviewing again, in other words, U.S. taxpayers would have an ownership stake in vaccines developed by the company, and thereby might save money. Skipping down. One particular patent assigned to Moderna concerns methods and compositions that can be used specifically against coronaviruses, including COVID-19. The patent names a Moderna scientist and a former Moderna scientist as inventors, both of which acknowledged performing work under the DARPA awards in two academic papers, according to the reports by the advocacy group. One more time, because this is important. One particular patent assigned to Moderna concerns methods and compositions that can be used specifically against coronaviruses, including COVID-19. The patent names a Moderna scientist and a former Moderna scientist as inventors, both of whom acknowledged performing work under the DARPA awards in two academic papers, according to the report by the advocacy group. The group examined the 126 patents assigned to Moderna or Moderna PX, as well as 154 patent applications. Quote, despite the evidence that multiple inventions were conceived in the course of research supported by the DARPA awards, not a single one of the patents or applications assigned to Moderna disclosed U.S. federal government funding, unquote, the report said. The missive to the Department of Defense follows a recent analysis by Public Citizen, another advocacy group, indicating the National Institutes of Health may own mRNA-1273, the Moderna vaccine candidate for COVID-19. The advocacy group noted the federal government filed multiple patents covering the vaccine, and two patent applications in particular list federal scientists as co-inventors. In the U.S., the effort is focused on the extent to which the federal government has provided taxpayer dollars to different companies to help fund their discoveries. In some cases, advocates argue that federal funding matters because it clarifies the rights that the U.S. government has to ensure a therapy or vaccine is available to Americans on reasonable terms. One more time. In some cases, advocates argue that federal funding matters because it clarifies the rights that the U.S. government has to ensure a therapy or vaccine is available to Americans on reasonable terms. One example has been remdesivir, the Gilead Sciences treatment being given to hospitalized COVID-19 patients. The role played by the U.S. government in developing remdesivir to combat coronaviruses involved contributions from government personnel at such agencies as the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases. As for the Moderna vaccine, earlier this month, the company was awarded a $1.525 billion contract by the Department of Defense and the Department of Health and Human Services to manufacture and deliver 100 million doses of its COVID-19 vaccine. The agreement also includes an option to purchase another 400 million doses, although the terms were not disclosed. So they just got, Moderna just got over $1.5 billion from the DOD and the Department of Health, DHS, to manufacture and deliver 100 million doses of its COVID-19 vaccine. Skipping down. This is not the first time Moderna has been accused of insufficient disclosure. Earlier this month, Knowledge Ecology International and Public Citizen maintained the company failed to disclose development costs in a $955 million contract awarded by BARDA, B-A-R-D-A, all capitals, for its COVID-19 vaccine. In all, the federal government has awarded the company approximately $2.5 billion to develop the vaccine. As we'll see near the end, it appears dubious that there are going to be any price breaks that we get from this. Now, even though in its patent filings, Moderna did not disclose the Pentagon financing of its work, they have been very candid about that. In fact, touting that explicitly in their press releases that justify and give momentum to the fast-tracking of the development of the vaccine. So when they apply for patents, Moderna does not disclose that DARPA and the Pentagon and the government have helped with the financing of this development. But when they are justifying fast-tracking the bringing of their product to market, they are very candid about the government role and the Pentagon role in developing this. From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News of March 26th of 2020 by Juliana Lemieux, capital L-E, capital M-I-E-U-X, Moderna's SARS-CoV-2 vaccines fast-track to clinical trials. One of the reasons the SARS-CoV-2 vaccine development has been so fast, for details see the timeline of events at the bottom of this story, is the work Moderna has done over the past 2 years in an existing collaboration with the Vaccine Research Center, or VRIC, of National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Diseases to develop a vaccine against MERS-CoV. Remdesivir was being tested against that same virus, and that was part of the research program that appears into so many of these bat-borne coronaviruses, continuing and skipping down. When the company, that is to say Moderna, received the SARS-CoV-2 genomic sequences from China on January 11th of 2020, the stage for development was already set. The mRNA vaccine against SARS-CoV-2, mRNA-1273, was quickly designed, tested for sterility, and shipped to the NIAID for clinical study. The IND was filed on February 21st, and on March 2nd, FDA gave the green light to start clinical study. The first person was dosed last Monday, and the company is currently filing an IND to start Phase 2. The biggest reason for Moderna's progress on this vaccine is because a lot of the work has been done before, given the time and energy they invested into the MERS vaccine. Again, that's Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. The spokesman explained that without that, they never would have been able to move as fast. One more time. The biggest reason for Moderna's progress on this vaccine is because a lot of the work had been done before, given the time and energy they invested into the MERS vaccine. He explained that without that, they never would have been able to move as fast. And now, the SARS-CoV-2 is part of the beta coronaviruses, and both Moderna and Remdesivir are being trotted out and or fast-tracked in connection with dealing with that very same category of viruses. Obviously, a major focal point of BW research, as we looked at in the Whitney Webb article. From that same article, timeline of Moderna's path to the SARS-CoV-2 vaccine. January 11th, the Chinese authorities shared the genetic sequence of SARS-CoV-2. January 13th, the U.S. National Institutes of Health, or NIH, and Moderna's infectious disease research team finalized the sequence for mRNA-1273, the company's vaccine against the novel coronavirus. That is 2 days after the genetic sequence went online. And again, as a general consideration, once any researcher, they could be of the best intent in the world, publishes the results of these things, they can then be adapted to biological warfare research, and any virus can be synthesized in a laboratory starting from scratch. And again, about the research into beta coronaviruses and how the work that Moderna was doing into the MERS vaccine made it really easy to adapt to COVID-19. From Nature magazine of July 21st of 2020 by Amber Dance. That's just like A-M-B-E-R, D-A-N-C. Great name for a progressive rock group, by the way. Amber Dance. That would work. Not to, you know, say anything negative about the woman. The article, Coronavirus Vaccines Get a Biotech Boost. Again, by Amber Dance, Nature, July 21st of 2020. In January, Barney Graham, G-R-A-H-M, had a new vaccine ready for testing. Its target was the NIPA, N-I-P-A-H virus, which had caused respiratory illness and brain infections in past outbreaks in Southeast Asia. Graham, a vaccinologist and deputy director at the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, or NIAID, Vaccine Research Center in Bethesda, Maryland, was working with Moderna Therapeutics in Cambridge, Massachusetts, to build a type of vaccine never approved before for use. Graham and his colleagues were just about to start manufacturing the NIPA vaccine for human trials when they got wind of the disease caused by a new coronavirus, now known as SARS-CoV-2, wreaking havoc in Wuhan, China. They quickly changed their plans, but not the design on which their vaccine was based. Armed with a draft genome for SARS-CoV-2, which was shared online on January 11th, Moderna swapped in the coronavirus RNA and started shipping a potential vaccine to the NIAID for clinical tests. The process took just 6 weeks, the fastest turnaround from project start to vaccine candidate in medical history, and again, financed in part by the Pentagon. However, even though we technically should have part ownership into this, doesn't look like that is going to affect the bringing of that vaccine to market if the vaccine is okay at a reasonable price. By the way, one advantage to mRNA vaccines is that they have never been approved for use on human beings before, this type of vaccine, but they are inexpensive to produce. So if, for the sake of argument, the vaccine is safe or works, we should be able to get it relatively inexpensively. Do not hold thy breath on that one. From Bloomberg News of August 17th of 2020, COVID-19 vaccine lacks a key ingredient, trust, by Timothy L. O'Brien and Max Musen, M-I-S-E-N. And again, part of the consideration here is, will this help to elect Donald Trump? But the vaccine program has also been skipping down into this Bloomberg News article from August 17th. But the program also has been shrouded in secrecy. The government has good reasons to keep some parts of the program under wraps, particularly negotiations that could affect the stock prices of companies making bids. But the process for deciding which companies were tapped to participate in the public health equivalent of the Manhattan Project has been entirely too opaque. And that lack of transparency is also likely to make the public, the folks who will have to line up for inoculations, skeptical that the government has ensured that we wind up with an effective and safe vaccine. Speaking of Moncef Slaoui, who was in charge of product development for Moderna before he left to head up Operation Warp Speed, the overall Trump administration program to come up with a vaccine in record time. Slaoui also has little patience for critics of Warp Speed's structure or goals. Quote, many, many experts are saying why this has never been done and, quote, why it's impossible to do. I would like to ask them, please, can you take 10% of your time and help us try to make it work? Of course, it is very difficult. Of course, it could fail, unquote. That does not address one of the most pertinent criticisms, that Warp Speed's contracts and spending aren't transparent. The House Select Committee on the Coronavirus Crisis has just called for Warp Speed officials to provide more information on its operations. By the way, Moncef Slaoui is being helped by a four-star general, Dr. General Gustav Perna. We'll look at that in 11:30, among other shows. Continuing, quote, the administration still has not provided any explanation of how it is selecting vaccine candidates, what the risks are of narrowing down that shortlist, or addressed concerns about potential conflicts in contracts that predate this crisis, Senator Patty Murray, a Democrat from Washington State, observed during the hearing. The Warp Speed leaders declined to offer specifics to senators on which companies were candidates or how the selection process works. One more time. The Warp Speed leaders declined to offer specifics to senators on which companies were candidates or how the selection process works. Slaoui says a vaccine that could be available by the end of the year for some Slaoui says a vaccine could be available by the end of the year for some at-risk individuals, but that would require emergency approval from the FDA. Stephen Hahn, the FDA commissioner, and I would add a former Hoover Institute fellow here at Stanford, Stephen Hahn, the FDA commissioner, has said his agency will maintain high standards in its approval process, but Trump has also made his preferences clear. That could put pressure on Hahn, an inexperienced commissioner who already flip-flopped on granting emergency authorization for the use of hydroxychloroquine, a controversial and ineffective drug favored by the president. Members of the medical community have also raised red flags about Warp Speed's opaque selection process. They contend that some companies appear to have been selected because they could manufacture a vaccine quickly, not because they demonstrated the most promising scientific approaches. Quote, it's typical Operation Warp Speed, where everything is sort of cryptic and it is unclear what they are actually saying, unquote. Peter Hotez, HOTEZ, a vaccine researcher at Baylor College of Medicine, told Science magazine in June, quote, what have these vaccines been chosen to do, unquote. Pricing is also a pivotal issue. Warp speed companies are for the most part hugely profitable enterprises that charge Americans the highest drug prices in the world. With the government absorbing much of the financial risk these companies usually point to as justification for lofty prices, the expectation is that any vaccine that emerges from Warp Speed should come with a rock-bottom price. Although the vaccines will be free to the public, the ultimate cost to taxpayers is still important. It remains to be seen if they'll be free to the public, because some of these vaccines may require repeated vaccination as the vaccines lose power with time. Again, this has yet to be proved, whether how effective they are. Does the effectiveness stay? Do you have to be revaccinated later? We will see. AstraZeneca, which has pledged to forego profits from any vaccines it sells during the pandemic, plans to deliver 300 million doses to the government in exchange for $1.2 billion in total funding, about $4 a dose. Moderna has received nearly $1 billion and is slated to get as much as $1.525 billion more if it can deliver 100 million doses, about $25 per dose. Mr. Disbro argues that Warp Speed isn't paying only for shots. The initial $1 billion for Moderna, for example, was a one-time payment to fund clinical trials and factories. Americans will benefit if this helps speed the vaccine to market, and the spending could pay off over time if Moderna produces additional doses. The company will get less federal money if it doesn't get an approval by January 31st. Even so, Moderna's proposed pricing has been especially controversial, and not only because it is relatively high. Taxpayers have been helping to finance Moderna's vaccine research since long before Warp Speed came along. The National Institutes of Health, as both Axios and Public Citizen have reported, has been such a significant backer of Moderna that it may own a stake in the intellectual property undergirding the company's coronavirus vaccine. And, of course, DARPA has been as well. Skipping down. Also unresolved and potentially troubling is the way in which vaccines will be priced after Warp Speed companies deliver their first batch of treatments. If COVID-19 flares up seasonally and initial vaccine protections fade, booster shots may become expensive. Pfizer, note this for subsequent reference, Pfizer, P-F-I-Z-E-R, and Moderna have both indicated that they might charge higher prices for their vaccines post-pandemic. One more time. Pfizer and Moderna have both indicated that they might, I think you bet, will bloody well surely we should be in there, that they might charge higher prices for their vaccines post-pandemic. Monsef Slowey concedes that future prices for a vaccine are likely to go up. And note that the trials on elderly citizens, they are the people who are most susceptible to lethal COVID-19 infection or serious infection. Moderna's trial was on a grand total of 10 elderly people. That is a very small sample size. From CNBC of August 26th of 2020 by Berkeley, Lovelace Jr., Moderna says its coronavirus vaccine shows promising results in a small trial of elderly patients. The company tested its vaccine on 10 adults between the ages of 56 and 70 and 10 elderly adults aged 71 and older, Moderna said. Each participant received two 100 microgram doses of the vaccine 28 days apart. The volunteers produced neutralizing antibodies, which researchers believe are necessary to build immunity to the virus, and T cells, skipping down. Scientists had previously cautioned that the phase one study was small and the results may differ for other populations, including the elderly, who generally mount a weaker immune response. The new data Wednesday will likely boost hopes that there could be a safe and effective vaccine to prevent COVID-19 by the end of the year or early 2021. So again, of the military research into things like remdesivir and Moderna factors into a number of things. I think it raises very interesting and ominous questions about the outbreak of COVID-19 itself, not only in China, but here. And obviously, the research into viruses like MERS involving the various U.S. Military testing or facilities, military testing facilities or facilities that have been used, such as the Hamilton Montana Laboratory, raises interesting questions as well for both the development of remdesivir and for Moderna. Vis-a-vis Moderna, bear in mind that no mRNA vaccine has ever been approved for human use. And as to any deleterious side effects, and in For the Record program number 1131, we took a look at just how ominous side effects have been predicted by many people. Indeed, expert researchers have noted that mRNA is a very tricky technology to use. So if in fact, the vaccine is rushed to market, and if it is administered to a bunch of people, and if they then go beacon feathers in 5 years, well, tough stuff, as they say. Vis-a-vis the academic distinction between offensive and defensive research, there was an interesting insight carried in a book published in 1988. The book is Gene Wars, Military Control Over the New Technologies, co-authored by Charles Piller, P-I-L-L-E-R, and Keith R. Yamamoto, published in hardcover by Beach Tree Books, an imprint of William Morrow. Again, this was 1988. And speaking of Jonathan King, Jonathan King, who has chaired the microbial physiology study section for the National Institutes of Health, believes that without intensive independent scrutiny, the Pentagon is free to obscure its true goals. Quote, "The Defense Department appears to be pursuing many narrow applied goals that are by nature offensive, such as the genetic, quote, improvement, unquote, of biological warfare agents," King says, again quoting, "but to achieve political acceptability, they mask these intentions under forms of research such as vaccine development, which sound defensive." Indeed. Going back to the Whitney Webb article that we have used so many times, yet another excerpt from that very important article from the last American Vagabond of January 30th of 2020. And again, something to be thought, considered in the context of Jonathan King's observation and also the observation I made about the distinction between offensive and defensive biological warfare research being essentially academic. One wonders with things like mRNA and other genetic nucleic acid vaccines that are being developed. These have never been used on human beings before. They are now being tested. If they are rushed into production and if, in fact, down the line, they turn out to be destructive, well, who knows if they produce side effects that are destructive. Bear in mind, too, that Scott Gottlieb, who was Stephen Hahn's predecessor as head of the FDA. He sits on the board of Pfizer, which also is working on a vaccine that is being fast-tracked, but against the mRNA vaccine developed by Moderna in considerable measure with federal/Pentagon financing. I wonder to what extent some of these things maybe, and again, this is an emphatically speculative element, I wonder if some of these may involve something called gene driving from that Whitney Webb article. Concerns about Pentagon experiments with biological weapons have garnered renewed media attention, particularly after it was revealed in 2017 that DARPA was the top funder of controversial, quote, gene drive, unquote, technology, which has the power to permanently alter the genetics of entire populations while targeting others for extinction. At least two of DARPA's studies using this controversial technology were classified and, quote, focused on the potential military application of gene drive technology and use of gene drives in agriculture, unquote, according to media reports. The revelation came after an organization called the ETC Group obtained over 1,000 emails on the military's interest in the technology as part of a Freedom of Information Act request. Co-director of the ETC Group, Jim Thomas, said that this technology may be used as a biological weapon. Quote, gene drives are a powerful and dangerous new technology, and potential biological weapons could have disastrous impacts on peace, food security, and the environment, especially if misused. The fact that gene drive development is now being primarily funded and structured by the U.S. military raises alarming questions about this entire field. Yes, it does. Particularly in light of Jonathan King's observation, again, from Gene Wars from 1988, military control over the new technologies. Quote, the Defense Department appears to be pursuing many narrow applied goals that are by nature offensive, such as the genetic, quote, improvement, unquote, of biological warfare agents, unquote. King says, again quoting, but to achieve political acceptability, they mask these intentions under forms of research such as vaccine development, which sound defensive. Another series of programs, and we'll go into this at greater length in our next show, that also bear scrutiny, and that concerns epidemic prevention, the aforementioned joint Chinese and, in part, apparently U.S. Intel-funded project at the Wuhan Laboratory was, again, under the rubric of epidemic prevention back in 1997 when I noted that the genetic material from the 1918 influenza virus had been recovered by elements of the Pentagon. I noted that the Pentagon is not in the business of safeguarding the public health, and I wonder if perhaps this was a harbinger of things slash pandemics to come. Something to bear in mind in that regard, in many programs we have spoken about Unit 731. We went into this at length in For the Record program number 1137 and others. That was the Japanese Biological Warfare Research Program, the central element of which was in Harbin, Manchuria. Later the files and the personnel. The personnel were basically given immunity from prosecution as war crimes, and some of them went back into the medical research field in Japan. And the files from Unit 731 were incorporated into the U.S. Biological Warfare Research Program at Fort Detrick and elsewhere at the end of World War II. What is really interesting, and we'll talk about this greater length in our next program, from the Wikipedia entry on Unit 731. Unit 731, also referred to as Detachment 731, the 731 Regiment Manchu Detachment 731, or the Kamo Detachment, each unit EC detachment, that's ISHII, who was the head of the program, or the EC company, was a covert biological and chemical warfare research and development unit of the Imperial Japanese Army that undertook lethal human experimentation during the Second Sino-Japanese War of World War II. It also did it throughout World War II. It was responsible for some of the most notorious war crimes carried out by Imperial Japan. And skipping down, it was officially known as the Epidemic Prevention and Water Purification Department of the Kwantung Army. The point is that Epidemic Prevention, which has been the official rationalization for many of these programs that are implicated in the potential development of SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19. Many of those programs were involved with ostensibly preventing epidemics. And once again, from bats gene editing and bioweapons, recent DARPA experiments raised concerns amid coronavirus outbreak by Whitney Webb. Many of these recent research projects are related to DARPA's Preventing Emerging Pathogenic Threats or PREEMPT programs. One more time. Many of these recent research projects are related to DARPA's Preventing Emerging Pathogenic Threats or PREEMPT program, which was officially announced in April of 2018. PREEMPT focuses specifically on animal reservoirs of disease, specifically bats, and DARPA even noted in its press release in the program that it is, quote, aware of biosafety and biosecurity sensitivities that could arise, unquote, due to the nature of the research. In addition, while both DARPA's PREEMPT program and the Pentagon's open interest in bats as bioweapons were announced in 2018, the U.S. military, specifically the Department of Defense Cooperative Threat Reduction Program, began funding research involving bats and deadly pathogens, including the coronaviruses MERS and SARS, a year prior in 2017, and of course those have loomed large in the early sending to market, including being given free to the military of remdesivir, and also in the rapid development of Moderna's mRNA 1273 vaccine. We've got its warp speed from the fact that it was already being tested on beta coronaviruses, and it apparently is very simple to swap in the capability to do that for any of the beta coronaviruses. Something that we are going to begin our next program with, and this is a column by William J. Broad in the New York Times of July 14th of 2020. Disease detective puts forth pointed questions. And this is a Dr. Lucy. We'll talk more about this in our next program. But note the following. Talking about gain-of-function researchers. Debate over its wisdom erupted in 2011 after researchers announced success in making the highly lethal H5N1 strain of avian flu easily transmissible through the air between ferrets, at least in the laboratory. Skipping down. A Chinese paper in the journal Science reported the two virus samples from Wuhan were studied in great detail early this year, including in a variety of animals. It reported that cats and ferrets were highly susceptible to the pathogen SARS-CoV-2. We'll talk more about this. Will there be a new and improved H5N1 flu hitting the U.S. and devastating us at the same time as SARS? And will this benefit Gilead Sciences that developed Tamiflu or oseltamivir to combat H5N1, which now has been gained of function, to coin a term, to make it much more transmissible? Well, stay tuned, but that's all we have time for in this program. You have been listening to For the Record Program 1152, BioPsyOp Apocalypse Now Part 12, COVID-19 Updates Part 3, being recorded on September 17th of 2020. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.